ready this morning?
Oh, well, pert and proper.
I'm ready to go.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2017. It's 9 a.m. This is the Joseph County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. Item number one is Assistant County Counsel, one and two job descriptions. Item number two is BCC staffing. Who put that on?
Do you have that? Toby? Do you have the job description stuff?
Commissioner Morgan's not here. Commissioner DeYoung is, however. So we'll get started. Item number one, County Counsel.
Okay, we're returning today with the numbers. The finance has had an opportunity to work up, and so it's probably a good point to kick
hand
off.
And out, numbers. This is another. So what I did is I took what I thought was the direction from last meeting. We pretty much wrote off the part-time law clerk option. We wanted to keep the law clerk full-time in order to take advantage of leveraging the state dollars with county dollars. So the only option really on the table was, what does it cost to add a legal counsel one to the budget, and then how do you pay for that? So I really felt there were two options. One is just internally, we make it part of the legal counsel budget and it's part of the internal service fund, and the full cost would be borne by the internal service fund. So that's your, on the sheet you see, that's the middle group of numbers is adding legal counsel, no distribution. The top group of numbers is just the current budget for the 17-18 fiscal year. So it gives us a comparison between what we're currently budgeted and what this new number would be. And as you can see, overall, it adds a net $81,000 to the budget. That's because we're dropping the legal clerk, the law clerk, law library, from the previous occupant who was at the top of his range down to the lower end of the range, and also adding the legal counsel one. I put both of them at step three because I wanted to see what a full annual budget would be. What's a full annual cost? So next year, step three, full annual, what's the difference? So as I said, the net is $81,000. $93,000 to the legal budget, and a savings of $11,000 to the law library because of the reduction in the cost of the law clerk. The second, or the third group of numbers down there, the second option, is adding legal counsel, distributing the cost. It's the same numbers. I'm just distributing half the cost to the legal counsel office, a quarter of the cost to planning, quarter of the cost to building safety, with the understanding that this position would be dedicated to land use issues, which would include both the building ordinance, building safety type issues, as well as planning issues. So, of course, there's all kinds of variations you can do on this. If you don't want to charge it to building safety, then you just add that number back to planning, or if you want to split it third, you would take that number and, you know, $30,000 each or $35,000 each. So, but this gives us the basis for what we need, I think, for the options that were presented to the board, or that the board asked for me to follow up on. Let's see, what else? ISF, down at note at the bottom, the ISF rate, if one-half of a 1% adds about $200,000 to the ISF income. So we're currently at 7.5%. If we raise that even a quarter of a percent to 7.75, that would bring in an additional $100,000, which would cover this cost too, if the board so choose.
Well, right. Any thoughts, Commissioner DeYoung?
Well, I don't mind going up that 0.5%. You know, I think you're glad you showed us where that money could come from. And I'm assuming you're splitting these out on 50, 70, 50, 25, 25, because
correct.
None of this is a full-time job. I mean, you're not full-time dedicated to one or the other. You're just trying to break it out that way.
Right, yeah, and my understanding in our discussion was that the planning portion would be roughly half and half.
Be about half.
Under the original premise of we would make this part of the legal count or the legal law library's function, which is currently, you know, we're keeping the law library open half time. So that was kind of the premise there. I don't know, but what, you know, this position could be 100% planning. I'm not sure.
At least half, and we could probably find an additional 20 hours of planning work, but I'm going to say at least half. We can safely declare that at this
stage. That's a good start.
Yes. But then the current, I'd have to add in then that general fund, of which planning is contributes and is part of, pays ISF fee. Mm-hmm. So to a certain extent, you know, they're already putting into ISF, which includes legal counsel. So yes. To a certain extent, they're already paying for a portion of legal counsel.
Right. I would say that it's more standard along the lines of the contracts that they get for the scanning, you know, consultants and anything else. What they have as far as their client use, mm-hmm. they're receiving a revenue stream, which should account for the cost of legal counsel. But I don't think they're looking at their budget that way. Mm-hmm. I'm not, and I should be. That a certain portion of it, you know, gets to the expeditious nature of getting that legal counsel stuff done in a timely fashion for applicants.
Is there a chart around somewhere in legal? Thank you very much. Is there a chart around in legal that says, in my business, I could tell you at the end of the month how much time I had to spend, the office people had to spend with the sheet metal department versus the service department versus inventory and, you know, just regular office stuff. Mm-hmm. But we could allocate a certain amount of office time to those functions. Does that help you out? Oh, it doesn't. Anyway, to those functions. And do you do that in your department to say, okay, I spend this amount of time with planning, and, you know, do you have it compartmentalized enough where you can do that? And say, you know, for instance, the board takes up this much of my time chasing their legal stuff down. Planning takes up this much of my time chasing their legal stuff down. You categorize that, your time in that way, shape, or form?
No, I could provide an estimate, but that's worth whatever weight we want to put on it.
And I would imagine it changes.
It does. It does.
Workload changes. Sometimes we do something stupid and your workload goes crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to focus, we were just talking about this coming, I tend to handle a lot of the fires that pop up during the course of any given day, mm-hmm. and I try to assign longer-term projects to Leah on balance. She also has some areas of specialization that she's acquired over the course of her lengthy service.
But we're looking at planning, building and planning. We're looking at them as a special category all on their own, that they take up a certain amount of time and we know how much that is. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's another area that you could use help. That you say, no, well, they're not the elephant in the room. These people are over here.
I don't think it's really worth attempting to plan on that basis.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
there isn't any other office or program that uses legal counsel services the way planning does. I can think of. You guys maybe know more so.
Public Works a little bit.
Yeah. Those are probably cyclical, and they should be fairly routine in nature, much like airports. I mean, most of the things that they do, their bidding contracts or their contracts are fairly routine. And public health.
I didn't know if there was
Lee does a lot of review, I would imagine, of those public health contracts.
Yeah.
But they're just a form.
Right.
The challenging stuff for planning is it's content-based. It's specific wording that is the nuance of an applicant, you know, putting in a findings of fact, something that we don't want to say. Mm. Not catching that has big ramifications. It's like going to court when you go to LUBA and all of that. And we go every once in a while, and it takes a lot of time and energy.
Well, I didn't know if there was some other portion of your day-to-day operation that we could take away from you that would give you more time to devote to planning and to building and to that. Like, for instance, you know, if my girls were overwhelmed with payroll, I can farm payroll out. I can take payroll out of there out of their job description and give it to company B or hire somebody, get my account, give it to Cynthia, and she's, yeah, I'll do your payroll for X number of dollars a month. And it, you know, it may not be financially feasible for me to do that, but it sure frees up my girls to say, you know, yeah. I had an instance like that just happened that I said, where's my accounts receivable? Well, we haven't got the billing out yet. I said, you what? They hadn't sent statements out because they were too busy doing something else. And I said, no, I, you know, what got in the way?
I think planning is that thing for them. Planning
would be that thing. If you took care of planning, that would free you up to do.
By and large, yeah. I mean, there's other areas. There's some administrative stuff. We could look at confirming content on cover sheets, for example, material that comes to the board. We could look at whether that's something we're a little bit heavy on and legal in our role. We could look at drafting of resolutions, orders, and the like. They are in terms of time, kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
If you given it the thought and you say the planning is that, but then that.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's funny. I asked Wally about this, I think, in January, and that was what came out of that discussion to shop out. It's totally impractical to think of shopping it out, but retaining it in-house might be the better hybrid of a solution of it, because you can't shop it out, because anybody who's worth their weight in land use law is going to have land use clients, and they can't work for both if they they can't have us and them as a client. So they wouldn't take our business to give up every other piece of business they could. So not if they were any good. If they were terrible, they'd be sure. We haven't done land use planning or land use law. We'd love to have you as a client cut our teeth, but I think this could work. It's just a matter of paying for it. I don't want to go too far along this discussion because we're frankly probably going to have most of it over again because Commissioner Morgan is here. She needs to review the tape, I think, would be the most foundational place, and then we can come back for a real conversation when she's feeling well. Because I want, you know, certainly these two to buy into whatever perspective, because it's going to be a long-term trajectory change for the legal counsel's office. It's not something you do for a year. I mean, we could try it for a year and see how it works, but more than likely, you don't just retain a position without some longevity in mind. But I certainly know that our clients coming through planning would really like an expert to expedite their processes.
Yes.
Not asking for extensions in Boobo, because you guys are just pulled in a lot of different directions, and you're having to figure out, you know, the elements of it like any other case from the foundation. So
building is ramping up, so there's going to be more need, not less.
It is.
They're getting more complicated.
Yes.
I think with the Sunny Valley is just an example. The last one with the brimstone, having that position, you know, the board should have been tight on where we were from the get-go with planning, and that could have been facilitated through a legal counsel bringing it to our attention, saying, this looks like it's outside of your scope, or at least you have this as an option, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would be helpful. Okay, well, let's revisit this. In the meantime, I don't know that there's any more information I need. Do you?
Nope.
No. Okay.
No, I was just having the question I had is if we're going to hire somebody, are we hiring them for the right place? And it sounds like you've researched that.
Yes.
You've got the need, and if that's where the need is, then that's where it lies.
Yeah. I think we'll start to see a direct impact on the economic development process.
Okay. Item number two is BCC staff meeting.
When are we bringing it back?
As soon as she's feeling better and able to have reviewed the tape and we can get it. It doesn't necessarily have to be listed, but if we can, we will. Because it's just a preliminary to set, you know, to move forward with to a weekly business session approving these job descriptions and then advertising for them and figuring out where the money's coming from. So I'm not in favor of increasing the ISF to pay for this. I think that there's a capacity within the existing budget. My concern would be long-term implications. We've got the new part-time person, but that's in the budget for your office and HR's. I can't really foresee any other significant impacts to ISF in the coming future. And there is an increase every year that should keep up with inflationary elements and, you know, just back of the envelope, it feels like there's a capacity to handle it. Because this is probably more along the lines of that 50% of the job description coming out of ISF, and then 50% of the revenue needed to be allocated to planning and building and safety.
If that's the case, I agree with you. on that, that ISF could absorb the 50% straightforward enough. Although as I look into the future, I think IT, information technology, might be the next
need
because we're pursuing more of that, not less of that, especially if we're going to bring on board a new tax and assessment system, which they're planning on doing within the next year or 2 years, the old system being, you know, DOS-based and very, very old.
Well, that's one of the things that I think we would get as part of a vision. I wish we had, like, I would assign my sign this to them, these visions for the five-year plan needing to have an IT expectation.
Yes.
Like, for instance, Parks is looking to bring reservations in-house. It's not just another person. It's a whole new software system that IT is going to be responsible for maintaining. And, you know, there's 60,000 reservations a year that's done through our current vendor. Sarah's going to need to, you know, we're going to have somebody in IT who understands all that.
Yes.
And you can't just keep adding these things to the mix and not have the capacity there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that our software program for running the cameras at the jail and now juvenile and stuff, all of that stuff, what we're going to do with the card lock system here, it's one thing to have somebody on facilities staff to be able to rekey everything. It's another thing to have an IT person to rekey everything. So it's a different person.
That.
Yep. So, anyway, well, yeah, we're working on those as soon as we can, Pat. Probably at the latest Thursday, I would hope, if Commissioner Morgan's back. Yes.
Kind of on that note, this afternoon's legal counsel update has some pretty heavy stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a discussion we want to go ahead and have without Commissioner Morgan, or is this something we should probably reschedule? I don't want to put you on the spot on that. We can.
No, I'm reading it right now. No, both of those can happen tonight.
Okay.
Yep. Those would be fine. They're ongoing, and the first one has a timeliness element of it, so I think that's important, and I know her perspective. So it'll be fine.
Okay.
See you this afternoon at 2 o'clock. BCC staff meeting. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I wouldn't mind having a preliminary discussion on the restructuring of the board's office, and that's been an ongoing conversation. I'm not in favor of spending another dime of general fund money on the board's office, so whatever proposal, from my perspective, comes forward has to have that caveat in mind. I won't support it if it spends any more general fund dollars on the board's office. So I think what we have right now may not be perfect, but it's working.
This for us, seems to be working better.
Yeah. So I think that there's room for improvement, that visioning thing. That's something the board wanted to get done, but there is a need to have somebody there who collectively moves the whole ball down the field,
right.
And that is not happening right now.
Well, I'm kicking around. There's a number of different, there's a couple of proposals on the thing, and I'm just trying to weigh the value of each one of them, you know, whether we, you know, which way we go on that.
Yeah.
There's always been, in my mind, and it's frustrating because, you know, the same way the city ran past, the same way here. Every 2 years you have an election, yet you have the potential to have a new employer, you know, in any capacity. I mean, you might get a new county clerk next time or a new...
You've had three.
We've had three. I've had...
You've had two.
I've had two.
You've had two since you've been here.
Less than 6 months, so... But, you know, you look at, you know, the sheriff and treasurer and legal counsel, those are all elected positions. Those could pop up and change at any time. You need, really, I think, I'm leaning toward somebody that just stays here year after year after year after year and continues that continuity between the politics and elected. Gosh, I came on board, and it'd take me a year to even figure out where the key to the men's restroom is. But you need somebody, I think, that just kind of follows that through, that ends up being that conduit that stays consistent and at least could bring the new people on board and say, okay, these are the projects we're working on, these are our focuses, and we want to clear these up in the first 3 months. Well, you've never got that done in the first 3 months of what, you know, Commissioner Morgan and I coming on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then plus on top of that, we had that levy that popped up right off the bat, so we were pretty well sidetracked there for the first 3 or 4 months.
I think this has been a productive first half of the year.
Well, I think so.
So
two-thirds. I think we've moved a lot of stuff forward.
Yeah, since I've been in office, there's only 4 remaining people who were here when I took office: the Veterans Service Officer, Public Works Director, the Assessor, and the Surveyor.
Mm-hmm.
Surveyor's part-time. I count him in because he's elected, but otherwise you only got 3 out of probably 15 different programs.
And but I think that in itself, changeovers. That's just a concept. That's just the way it is. But that's what slows government down. You're always trying to indoctrinate somebody else that's a key part of your program. You know, you might have something all set up to go, and gosh, and all of a sudden that person's gone.
Over.
You know, Keith X gone, and everything he was working on is gone. And so somebody else has got to step in and fill those shoes. It takes a while to get things up to speed. And I think the frustration with government is, my God, it takes you forever. And then there's the overlap from stuff that the last commissioners had approved, and then all of a sudden it's not quite done yet. And we have to kind of start all over and get Commissioner Morgan and I up to speed. What if we had that rhythm, I guess you would call it, and you know, you have that rhythm that everybody goes off of the rhythm. But if you had that drummer here that could just keep things going and keep them on schedule, even whether you had new people in, new people out, old people out, new people in, you at least have something there, a tie, that ties it all together. And I see I think that's kind of what we're talking about on the COO position. And I see value in that. I see great value in that.
I want to hold somebody's feet to the fire about, I think this 5-year vision's for every program that we assigned it to has incredible value we have never really done before. And
well, in 5 years, you're going to shift gears twice, maybe 3 times.
But at least there's a vision, and you can just read it in your orientation,
mm-hmm.
of this is where we're going. Okay, because otherwise, it's frankly in the manager's head or in my head about where we've been with all of these 13 other programs. It's been, this is the direction. I appreciate, you know, you want to hear what they have to say about it,
mm-hmm.
but this is where we're building towards, mm-hmm. you know, for the last decade. So,
well, and while the county's been treading water for so long,
yeah,
it's hard to get them to move their feet up and say we're going this direction now. And that I think we've treaded water, and now as the economy's ramping up, and this time Josephine County is ramping up with it. You can tell by the construction around here and the construction everywhere, and things are moving and shaking, and the cannabis industry certainly got a role in that. So now's the time when we should be ramping up government so that government, when they're asked upon them to do something, that they make sure they can answer that call. And if you keep, no, we're down here and we're going to stay down here and we're going to stay down here, then we'll lose out. We need to be moving in that direction also. So if it requires some changes, stuff we couldn't afford before or stuff we didn't think was absolutely bare bones necessary, then maybe now's the time to make that move and just say, okay, we're going to be a little bit more professional. Because it's easy. I see Commissioner Morgan has got a lot on her plate because guess what? Maybe there isn't anybody else there to do it. So this is important. None of us want to reach burnout, that's for sure.
Well, you've only been given 4 years to be here. You know, you don't know, mm-hmm. there are no re-elections.
You can't count on that next
trying
next 4.
To do everything you possibly can, mm-hmm. in the 4 years that you're given.
And you should
is
treat
really key.
In my mind, I treat this office like I'm not going to get elected.
Oh yeah.
I'm not going to use that. Well, you know, I'm not going to vote for you next time. That's not a threat to me.
No.
I'm going to do the best that I can while I'm here for 4 years. If it's in the play to get elected again or not, or I choose not to run again or whatever those situation is, I'm still going to treat this job that every day I'm going to come to work here to try to get something done.
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating part, because sometimes it drags its feet, and I see a lot of it is just repetitious, bringing everybody up to speed again, you know, for stuff that should have been just continuing. If it's going to be a 6-year project to get something done, there needs to be somebody there that's that whole 6 years and can talk to everybody else. So that's the frustrating part.
There's a lot of work lost when you lose somebody who's been... So last night at the Economic Development Advisory Committee, they're talking about housing. There was a three-year project, Executive Order 1207, which was a pilot project in Southern Oregon, looking at rezoning marginal farm and forest land. And it was John Rasher and Susan Morgan up there in Douglas County. There's three counties. Neither of those two commissioners actually saw the final product of the pilot project. I was the only remaining commissioner. Same thing with this community wildfire protection plan that took 5 years.
There's
a half a dozen different things, the Exit 61 and appropriating that money. The commissioners I started with, Dwight Ellis and Sandy Castanelli, were not the people I was in office with who finished that project, Don Reedy and Harold Haugen. And, nobody's going to be around if we don't get going on that sewer project up there. It's going to be the thing we talk about. We wanted to do something with, and for 30 years, people with good intentions never put into place the actual mechanism to make it happen. They just kept talking about it. One of the things Harold Haugen always said was, a lot of times commissioners get sidetracked fixing potholes to a road that goes nowhere. It's important to have the vision for, like, where are you going? Why am I dealing with these little tiny things?
What's the end run on it?
Instead of revamping major overhauls that, that need work.
Well, that North Valley has been on everybody's radar. I remember my dad sitting around talking about Paradise Rent.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, what a concept. And, you know, and how many times has Paradise Rent rose to the surface and somebody dumps another $2 or $3 million there, $5 million, $12 million, and it just goes away. And one of the things that we, you know, the water got out there, well, good. Paradise Ranch went away, so we had water all the way out there, and now we're not going to do anything with it. And that just frustrated me, so that we've worked really hard on that, you know, in the last 7-8 months. Say, okay, we have water out there, why can't we tap on? Oh, you just can't tap on. But you actually read the rules, and you can tap on. You know, it just, if we restructure some stuff out there and redefine it, what we're going to use the water for, all of a sudden now we may be able to have city water out there.
Yeah.
It was frustrating to me. They said, oh, we can't do that for a commercial, you know, just for safety. I said, then shut down your water key lock card out here on New Hope Road because you're selling to people outside the county. You're selling city water to people outside the county already and not for emergency purposes.
Outside the city. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, that I think we're on, we've focused on the North Valley, and I think we've got a good plan for North Valley with the airport expansion. And I think that momentum needs to go. If you're gone, if I'm gone, if Commissioner Morgan's gone, that momentum needs to be portrayed to the new people sitting in these chairs to say we've come 75% on this and your obligation is to carry us over the goal line.
So what do you want to How do you want to move forward with something? You know, the discussion. Do we just sit down with Commissioner Morgan sometime?
I think so. I think we need to have the merits of what, you know, there are two or three different proposals out there, you know, just kind of kicking around.
Yeah.
I think it's high time to say, okay, what are the merits of it? What is our objective? Because that should truly be one of our objectives, is how do you fix this problem of terms overlapping each other.
Some longevity.
If longevity and continuity is the problem, what's the best way to fix that? What's the best way to approach it?
Sounds good.
So.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll revisit this real soon. Ward Ockenden came by under other, item number 3. This morning I've been talking to him. He's got a proposal for a development out in some property he owns. It brought to mind the issue that I was thinking about. I haven't read this letter. He just dropped it off this morning about Commissioner Morgan. His permit's expiring. Coming up, gosh, it looks like October 12th. So the crazy thing is that...
Hour, huh?
Yeah, right. My thing is I don't understand why building permits expire or development permits expire. I told Julie, Ms. Schmelzer, I said, I don't care if they ever build it. They got a permit to build something. Why does it have to expire? Sure, state laws change, but just because they change, if you built it and they change, that doesn't mean that you have to tear it down or every time they change a building code, you have to bring it up to code. You know, it's where it is when you do it. And I just struggle with the idea that people's permits expire, because things happen. A lot of people during the 2008 downturn had stuff on the books, and
they had permits on land they didn't own anymore because the bank had to take it back.
Well, that I
and
think
the permit was still valid on they don't even own the land anymore. But I think expiration is a tool that communities use to say, you know, you've got a skin in the game and you've got to get something going, because usually these things are to spark some kind of action. And if a guy just gets a building permit, ties the land up, and then doesn't do anything, that's maybe it's expiration of a permit would be to allow somebody else to come in with a different idea and do the same thing, at least get something done. But, you know, I as the economy goes up and down, you know, we're just now coming back and his building permit's going to expire.
Yeah.
And he's got to start all over. I don't know what I haven't read through this, so I don't know what his financial deal would be. Can he get a extension for 2 years or a year? Not?
I would imagine we can do anything you want. I've extended his deadlines before. He had a land use issue on that 150 some odd acres or something like that. I think that's the one that he was rezoning to RR, and he finally got it after 20 something years through the whole process. He's not real consistent on his, you know, he's got like too many projects. I have no idea what that's like, running everywhere, you know. And so when he comes around back to it, it's like, oh, well, then it's this situation. So I don't know. I'm in favor of taking a look at this and seeing what we can do about.
Can we tier it?
Probably. We can do anything we want, I bet.
I mean, let's look at maybe a tiered, talk to Julie about a tiered system that says if it's so, you know, we put the criteria like this one here, pretty good sized project, I'm assuming this is it.
Yeah, and for some reason, I'm not real stoked on another storage. I think that's what it is. I don't know if that's this project or a different one he was talking about, but it just seems like I don't think that that's the best and highest use. But, you know, these people, it's property rights. Good night, that is massive.
Yes, it is.
I don't understand these people paying $50 a month to put their junk in a storage unit, and it 6 months or a year, there's no value left. You know, if you subtract $50 off of the value in these storage units, it's,
you know,
not there.
You know, Commissioner Bond over in Klamath, Donnie Bond, Donnie
Boyd, Donnie Boyd.
Is it Boyd? Yeah, Donnie
Derek
Boyd.
DeGroot.
He and his father-in-law, I think, bought a 63 split-window Corvette years ago, all in parts, for $8,500, and his father-in-law paid the money, so then they put it in a storage thing, and he just recently, his father-in-law said, I'm tired of paying the money every month. I'm tired of paying the money every month for that car. You can have it. Just get it out of there so I don't have to pay that
monthly
deal.
Yeah. How long has he been paying that? I mean, just...
Years.
Car's worth 16 grand now.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it's worth a lot more than that. You can't...
Well, I mean...
There is no value on a 63 split window, but... I mean, there's a lot of value there. But he's just... It's just a constant month after month after month. It's like a leaky faucet.
Absolutely.
You figure out what your water bill is
over 10 years.
He was telling
me that on this, he can't afford to build a warehouse facility that needs to be heated or air conditioned or whatever, tall ceilings. This, no heating and air conditioning, short ceilings, you know, a pretty constant revenue stream until the U.S. society figures out that this is a stupid thing to do. And
they won't.
No.
Especially with a shortage of housing. Maybe that's what he's looking at too, that people are moving here and they can move into an apartment. And then, well, they got all this stuff. So they rent 5 of these things, so $100 a month.
Jeez. Well, so, whatever.
I don't know. That's the private sector and his risk.
Yep.
But maybe we should tier it to where, you know, let's take a look at that as an option. So that if you're over so much money, you don't have an expiration date. You know, within a certain range, you do have an expiration date with 2 renewals. or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But okay. He's up against it here, so I guess we probably need to put this, read this over, and then make a decision on it, put it on a meeting, or is it going to go?
Yeah, it needs to be at a meeting, but I think I'll refer this to Julie and do a tiered or whatever. You know, come in for a conversation maybe on Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll add this. I like this as a general concept or something that we kind of try to work with people who are, you know, like what you're saying, interested in doing something. They're looking for an extension because the project is still live.
We don't want to turn away investors and people that want to do things.
Yep.
We want to make it easier for them, not harder for them.
Right.
We don't want to be a hurdle in there.
It's going to take a lot of, you know, people working to put that together. I was watching the one over on Rogue River Highway, and I just hate the idea that they're building these things, but maybe they can convert them to low-income housing or something.
It looks like all he's asking for here is 6 months. Is that an extension, I guess we could call that?
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get that on the calendar.
As a show of good faith, we could probably just say, you know what, we're going to give you a year, so you're not back here in 6 months. Could we give him a year?
We can do anything we want.
I'd suggest a year. That doubles what his
well, let's
request is.
Sit down and talk to
Julie and Commissioner
Julie about this.
Okay.
I received a request. I think the full board maybe did. From Hardwoods Plus, Jim Rafferty, requesting the board put the flag at half staff for his wife who passed away on September 7th, Lorraine Rafferty. I asked, and we don't have the authority locally to change the staff, the level on our flags. So it's that's what I found out from legal. So if you don't mind, I'll respond to Mr. Rafferty saying that, you know.
Right, I've always...
Our condolences, however.
Whenever I needed any flag protocol, I always went to the American Legion because they seem to know, you know, when we put the flag off of 7th Street Bridge during Boatnik, that has to hang a certain way.
Yeah.
It has to be presented at a certain time with, like, the national anthem going on, so on like that. And flag protocol, they were right up on that.
Good.
That might be a sore resource for them, too.
Okay. Anything else? I'm going to check my list.
But I did have over the weekend, we had another minor accident out there on New Hope Road at the corner at Phillips Race.
Oh, really?
And Rob Brandis and I talked yesterday about it because that's enough. So he's putting together a proposal, at engineering study or whatever you want to call it. They're going to drop some plans, try to take that curb out of there and what it's going to take to do that. That's been the fifth accident since I took office in January on that corner. So I think that pretty well establishes it is that there's something wrong out there. So we'll get, he's going to bring us some ideas, and it's not going to be just signage and bump strips and the guardrails and stuff. It's going to be an actual change shift in that, in the roadway out there.
You know, one of my challenges is that I said that when she was bringing those issues to me. I don't know how many or why it takes so long for Public Works to respond to when the board says something. When I mentioned last week about that, the barrier or the notification out in the street, Ward's like, Rob was like, well, it straddles the fog line. No, it doesn't. It's 18 inches. The edge of the manhole is a good 14, 18 inches from the fog line, not touching it, inside. And then you've got the manhole. That's the distance that those barricades were out in the lane. There was no lane there. What they proposed to do is a thing was unacceptable. And I don't understand why, when I say, I just don't get it. You know, like, who else has to say this before it's taken seriously? What they did there was unacceptable, and I'd never want to see it again. But it just doesn't resonate.
Well, our conversation was, you know, out there at Mrs. Ray's, is that I don't want to know all the reasons why something can't get done.
Yeah.
I said, I want to know what it's going to take to fix it. And they said, but boy, that's going to cost. I said, cost aside, what is it going to take to fix it? And then we'll look at the cost.
Right.
Then the cost becomes our decision.
Yes.
If it merits doing it, then we'll figure out where the money comes from, or, you know, we'll go to work on finding the money. But the key is that I want to know what the fix is. That's all I'm asking of the engineers, is leave the cost out of it for right now and just tell me what it's going to take to fix that. So that's where they're at right now, and then we'll find out what it's going to cost and go from there.
I just wish that we had a better kind of working relationship that we could, you know, and we do. Sometimes,
well, that's going to fix over time.
It's been really receptive. I think, you know, the response from Public Works 90% of the time I think is really good. Mm-hmm. It's just every once in a while it feels like it doesn't connect, and mm-hmm. that's where it's a little bit frustrating. That, you know, I talked to them, and what should have happened is they put a steel panel out there. You know, it was almost a week that was closed, that there was that barricade out into the street on Fruitdale. Way busier road than you can do. And right next to an intersection. So the intersection comes in, and then people are turning into that lane, and there's nowhere to go. It just was wrong. And so I don't want to overdo something, but I feel like I need to go out there with everybody and say, this can never happen again like this. Got to bring one of those panels out and put it over your job. That's just what you have to do if you're going to
let it in and call it even. And
yeah.
When you get back to it in 2 weeks.
Right, whatever.
Actually, well, you can notice a road closure and then you're all set.
There should be a threshold if when you're impacting over, you know, 30% of the lane width, mm-hmm. that lane isn't open anymore, you know? I don't know what it is, but there's some sort of a threshold.
Yeah.
Number of accidents in a given whatever, for whatever reason,
yeah.
Fast, slow, it's just
doesn't matter, and you can't put people's driving habits. You can lay the blame at their feet, but you're not going to correct that.
No.
So do you correct the highway? That's what you do. You correct the highway and what you do. And a lot of people use New Hope Road because they avoid Williams Highway because the Oregon State Police cruises. And so had a couple of beers after work on Friday or been to the ball game or whatever, and they take New Hope Road as a way to get back out to Murphy and on out. And so there's a lot of people driving out there that probably shouldn't be on the road at all.
Well, then we go to the, you know, nth degree and put up those rumble strips or whatever it is. You know, Rob doesn't want to do those because the snow plows or whatever. But
well,
that's a whole lot cheaper.
I want solutions. I can go anywhere and get a no answer.
Yeah.
But I want solutions, and that's what I feel is when you pay an engineer to come up with. Okay, this is. You know, this might be expensive, but this is, you want me to fix it, I'm going to fix it.
You know,
and this is what it takes.
Almost, I was thinking about when I was in county college and you're supposed to be mitigating liability, if you have a vegetation mitigation plan, you at least have a plan to have dealt with that shrub in front of a stop sign, mm-hmm. that if you didn't get to it, it was your plan to do so. But if we have no plan to address this when enhanced money comes up or what have you, mm-hmm. I think we're guilty of negligence knowing that there's a challenge there. And we don't have anything on the books as far as a creative solution.
Yeah.
We have to say, well, we've done these three things. And if we had all the money in the world, we would do this.
We'd do this. And we have it mapped out to do that. And we're now looking for the funding to take care of that.
That's excellent.
We're at least moving forward. We're making that step. If somebody were to get really injured out there, instead of just tearing her fence out five times, and but, you know, if we really had and the guy says, well, why didn't you fix that corner? And Phyllis Ray could say, I've complained, mm-hmm. and it just didn't go anywhere. So we need to move forward. And it sounds like to me, and you know, Rob and I talked about it yesterday, that it is, we're working
it's
on
it. It's on his list. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's in, we're gonna have a solution to that thing that'll fix it for certain within probably a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Well, he's got nearly 600 miles of road, so I can totally mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah. Know, oh, yeah.
Where do you stop? Every curve has issues.
But this one here has a history, and those are the things. If we have a history with something, we need to address that.
I think so. So the last one that I have is I met with the group last Friday when I was at the Forest Services thing on Saturday night.
Okay, good.
For an hour and a half, 2 hours of my life. I'll never get back. Play-by-play for the whole fire deal, whatever. and we'll discuss that this afternoon. But on Friday, I met with the ad hoc group that we put together for the I put together for the reinvesting those dollars from the Illinois Valley sale of that. One of the things that they were really concerned about is that we have some sort of an MOU with the COG that says, or the senior center, that you will provide them a space, kind of like a that they agreed to. Either
they agreed to, just either
you can't throw the senior center out for this deal. It either needs to be at the scene. I mean, you can't throw the Food and Friends out with this deal. They either need to be able to keep operating out of the county building like they have been. They don't really need that much. They just heat up prepared food there in their little oven or whatever, and then or at the senior center. But I think something in writing before the ink is dry is what they were requesting. So I don't have any objection to that.
I think if you went to what's his name out there, Lloyd?
No.
Who is the
good guy?
Big tall guy.
Yeah.
I'll
get Mike on that. Mike Watson on it.
Especially now is the time. I agree. You're right. Before this thing settles out and everything closes, that should be, if there's going to be a condition, it needs to be in there now.
There's an easy place to go for everybody else. There is not for Food and Friends.
The Food and Friends only use that one.
One couple days a week or something like that.
Yeah, a day a week, I thought it was. Yeah. It wasn't very much.
No.
Okay.
I'll get with Mike on that. Okay. Yeah, Commissioner Walker, doggone it, Morgan did a great job at the Forest Service thing. She read this non-binding question and the statistics and stuff, and so she just talked about that as being the priority of Josephine County residents, because there's a couple people in the audience who didn't want salvage logging after the Checo or any of these others, and that's not the way.
But that's their stand. It's always been their stand. It was their stand. It's probably the same people that were against logging on the Biscuit Fire and on any fire for that matter.
Well, that's why I asked this question, because we had meetings over here where 200 people show up, and you know, the people who do want salvage logging, they didn't show up. Why would they? I mean, that's not where we get information. We get it from elections, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So. Now we know 90% of the people in Josephine County want salvage after catastrophic wildfire.
Yeah.
So.
But as you stated in the past, too, when you don't salvage log, when you don't go in and rehabilitate the land, you're just setting yourself up for another one 8 to 10 years from now.
Oh, for sure.
And now you've got all kinds of fuel. And now you've really got, well, it's the old drills that was on fire, tipping over. We had burning log rolling down the hill. Well, you wouldn't have had burning logs at all. They'd have been in somebody's bathroom wall.
Right.
Had you salvaged log 8 years ago after Biscuit.
True.
So.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Nothing further. We're adjourned at 9:48.
Perfect.
Cool.